Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, excuse me, chapter 15, and then back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First four verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first three verses of chapter 13. Reading from the Word of God, we find these sacred words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and then he was seen of Cephas and 12 and then many others. Then going back to chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Father, we are singing about and reading about profound and glorious miracles of your amazing grace, and of who you are and how you function and what you do and what's priority to you. Help us to see it in context. Help us to experience it in our lives. And we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this morning, The Resurrection in Context. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ on display is another way we could title it. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ on display. The resurrection is much, much more than the celebrations that people really get excited about once a year. Real Christianity is the resurrection life of Jesus Christ on display every year and every day of every year. Because of the resurrection, one of the amazing things that happened is this. Not only does Jesus live, but he has sent his Holy Spirit to live in and through us his resurrection life. And so don't limit our thoughts to the resurrection to even the wonderful, profound reality that we can rejoice that sin's penalty has been successfully paid, as demonstrated by his resurrection. And we've tried to remind ourselves many times as we come to the Lord's table that the Lord's table encompasses the whole story of redemption, not only Jesus, our Passover. But we're to do this until he comes. And so within that parenthesis is all that he has done and provided for us right now, and all that we hope for all eternity when he comes. So it is needful to emphasize that when we talk about the resurrection biblically, we need to consider that the resurrection life of Christ is on display. Well, when Jesus is on display, what is the primary revelation? And there might be more than one way you could put this, but I would argue that it's love. Because when the Holy Spirit has come, Romans 5:5, he sheds abroad on our heart, he floods our hearts with the love of God by the Holy Spirit. And so we have to make connections. We need to see the resurrection in context. And if you have not seriously, or if I have not seriously, looked at the resurrection in context of what God says about love in the Christian life, we've got a disconnect. So, for example, in 1 John 4:7, the love of God, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. It's the very essence of what it means to be a Christian. Not only are your sins forgiven, hallelujah, that's great, but everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. God is love, 1 John 4:16. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God in you by the Holy Spirit. The resurrection life, not a holiday, not merely a holy day, but every day. One of the favorite verses that many of us would have would be in Galatians 2:20. And it encompasses not only his death, but his life. And not only his, but ours in him. Paul would say, and if you're a Christian, this is your testimony. Remind yourself. I need to remind myself time and again. I am crucified with Christ. The death of Christ is not merely a historical moment. For all of the grandeur, for all of the greatness, for all of the glory, for the unspeakable singularity of it, then it can't be matched. It goes beyond that. I am crucified with Christ. That's not all. Nevertheless, I live. Oh, but it's not Paul. It's not you or I. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, I have no problem with the songs we sung, but they're a little bit shy and short on what we're going to emphasize this morning. And just like a sermon or an article, hymns can't do everything in one hymn. But this is a good time to emphasize this today. Christ liveth in me. Not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the core essence of biblical Christianity. And so again, the first thing that God does when you're born again is he floods your heart with the Holy Ghost. And so the resurrection is not merely a doctrine, not merely a celebration at the Lord's table, but it is living divine life, flooding your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is within you. It's no wonder then that Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12. John 13:34-35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another, with an asterisk and a few exceptions, we can not include this one and not include this one and not, especially can't include this one. But Lord, everybody else is okay. No exceptions in the body of Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And then Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. This is not something that's static. It's a continuation every day of your life, every day of my life. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself as an offering, a sweet-smelling savor to God. Now think of who Jesus was loving, the likes of you and I. You say, well, that's my problem. I have to love the likes of all of you. And there are people in our world that we really get tested. Can you imagine? Jesus never whimpered. Jesus never slowed down. Jesus never halted. He loved. He even washed Judas's feet. Husbands, love your wives as Christ, as in the same manner as Christ loved the church. And so the resurrection life of love, when you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, we see that it must be preeminent. There are a lot of things that have value, and certainly these would make headlines. If before this day is over, some of us were involved in all of these experiences in a very demonstrable way, the news would be full of it. And yet, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, this is not the prophecy that is written about in religious books and out of date next week after a killing has been made. There's a ton of that happens. But if I could have a genuine gift of prophecy and genuinely understood all mysteries and had all knowledge, and though I had all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing, zero. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So, what we're talking about here is that the resurrection life of Jesus Christ must be prominent, must be preeminent. It's greater than any of all and all of this put together. And none of these without love amount to anything. Whether I'm teaching, preaching, giving, whatever. In our homes, in our churches, our lives, our actions, our attitudes, if they do not demonstrate love, that's a major problem. Because the very first thing God did when he saved you was flood your heart with his love. And so when you're reading the scripture, the warning, don't quench the spirit. If love is not free flowing through my life, the Holy Spirit is majorly quenched. Now, God's love must not only be preeminent, but it must be practical, the indwelling resurrection life of Jesus in verses 4 through 7. These are virtues, qualities of this love. What does this love look like? And when you read this passage, if you've never done so, first of all, read it and insert the name of Jesus. This is really a portrait of Jesus. This is what he's like. And you don't have to wonder what love is like and how what it will look like being manifest through you and I. Here it is. It's very practical. And no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is core, essential, foundational, supreme Christianity. This is the love that the Holy Spirit has flooded you with. Being a Christian is no small thing. You become a walking miracle. What does it look like? Well, it's patient. Suffers long. When you're wronged, when you're injured, real or imagined, things don't go like you like or like they should, the natural, we all know what the natural thing is, to be discouraged, to be angry, to resent, to strike back, spew out bitter words, exchange blows. But Jesus suffered long. He still does. And when the Holy Spirit is not grieved in us, when the resurrection life of Jesus Christ is in us and he's not grieved, we suffer long. We don't strike back. Love is patient. In other words, love is redemptive. Let's be honest. Very often, at the time when children most need redemptiveness, they melt, and part of that may be correction, but it has to be done in love. It must be redemptive. Suffers long, is redemptive, and love is kind. Right out of the starting gate, when the Holy Spirit has flooded your heart with his love, by the Holy Spirit, that's when it happens, when you're born again. This is not a second work of grace or something you strive to, and one day you get on the top of the mountain. No, it's from first day Christianity onward. Love is kind. In some sense, we can say that love suffering long can be passive. You're just biding time. You're not reacting in a negative way. But love is kind. Is active. And that's laid out in Romans chapter 12. Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Love is kind. Love is not love just because it suffers long, but in its suffering, it is kind. We want to see the extreme example of that? Of course. Go to Calvary. Walk with Jesus in his years of ministry. As we get close to the cross, the pain, physical, emotional, spiritual pain, agony. And yet on the cross, yes, I remember you. Take care of your mother. You'll be with me in paradise. God's love to us and God's love in us makes us kind. Jesus was kind. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Kind. God's love has a missionary spirit. It's not just passive, it's active, trying to make an eternal difference in the lives of those around us. I'm crucified. I live. Christ lives in me. Christ lives through me. And love envies not. Oh, by the way, in going through this list, after you go through it and put the name of Jesus there, put your own. Years ago, Jesus came into a town, and when the religious people found out that he was not going to join them, that in fact about every time he opened his mouth, he upset their apple cart, they began to be envious, and it concluded with crucifying him. They were jealous. They were loyal to their traditions and their power more than they were to the word of God. And then love vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, it's not boastful or bragging. It does not need to be noticed or applauded. It does not need to be first or served. God's love, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ to us and now through us, is humble. Philippians 2, Jesus humbled himself all the way to the cross. He filled the position of a servant. And so all this stuff is going on, people doing this, that, and the other. And my flesh wants to rise up. And the indwelling Holy Spirit, if we listen to his voice, will say, now, be patient, be kind, make sure you listen to me. What you have is an opportunity to manifest my humility. Lord, I didn't want an assignment. I wanted you to do something to them. You ever notice how often God doesn't pay any attention to how we want to direct him and give him our assignments? He doesn't pay any attention to them because they're wrong. They don't manifest the Holy Spirit. This is the resurrection life of Jesus on display. It's not enough to rejoice in the resurrection this morning. It's not enough to sing about the resurrection this morning. It's not enough to preach about the resurrection this morning. Today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, till we go home to him, an opportunity, a calling, a mission. But I'm not a preacher and I'm not a pastor and I don't teach Sunday school and I don't sing in the choir. But you have the same mission. In your world, where you live, around the people that you touch, to manifest Jesus. For the Holy Spirit to be ungrieved and unquenched, to be being filled, continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, which means to be filled with his love. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It's not ill-mannered. It's not brutal. It's not ugly. It has a bridled temper and a converted heart. This is 101 Christianity. All of this is because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit of the resurrected Christ. Jesus loved so much, it was said he saved others himself he could not save. In the final analysis, I'm either one that's thinking about my rights, what I'm deserved, what I deserve, or at least what I think I deserve, or I'm thinking about my, Lord, what is my responsibility here? How can I manifest you here? How can I demonstrate your love? You're thinking about what someone owes you or what others owe you or what you owe God. Hearts flooded with the love of God, displaying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not easily provoked, verse 5. Doesn't fly into a temper. You notice that Jesus was always in opposition to sin, but he loved sinners. He was never vindictive. He didn't retaliate. Love thinks no evil. Love takes no account of evil. The resurrection life of Jesus in you, through you, side acts. Love does not store up the memory of past things that were done wrong to you. It thinks no evil. You might be wondering why you have such a hard time to forgive. Maybe because of what you have stored. Or your files of what people have done to you should be deleted because they're under the blood of Christ. Love, verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This is the resurrection life of Jesus Christ on display. Rejoicing in the truth. Rejoicing not in iniquity. I can go out and go to the restaurant and get on my high horse. And you won't believe what our president did. On this very day, he wants us to have some special dealings and make sure we take care of the sodomites. And he's all concerned about making sure that they're treated right. It'd be bad enough if he did it on some other day, but not today. Or I can let the Holy Spirit say, oh, that reminds me, I have an assignment to pray for those who are in authority. I have not been given an assignment to gossip about them or just mouth off bad stuff about them, even if it's true. All of this stuff, as evil and wicked as it is an opportunity to pray. And there may be some circumstance where you have an opportunity to directly get a message to someone in authority and say, sir, ma'am, this is wrong. Here's the word of God. Please repent. I'm praying for you. You and I both are accountable to God. Love bears all things. Love endures all things. Love can take any disappointment or injury or insult without retaliation, without bitterness, without depression, because we're talking about the resurrection life of Jesus on display. And he faced all of the bad things that are in a fallen world far more than you and I have, and yet he was never depressed. He was never filled with resentment and anger and bitterness, and he didn't throw in the towel and he didn't say, okay, I gave you your shot, now I'm done. Love bears all things. Love endures all things. There's no greater testimony of enduring love than that of Christ on Calvary's tree. And while on that tree, he kept on ministering. He kept on serving others. This is love that bears all, but it can't be conquered. Believes, hopes, not gullible, but trusting. You say, well, I would trust, but my trust, they broke my trust, so I can never trust them again. Well, I can tell you one thing. I sure hope Jesus doesn't treat me that way. I'm in deep weeds. I cannot find any scripture where any sin that you may commit against me gives me the right to renege on my responsibility. The failures in others never justify me not walking in the steps of Jesus. And hallelujah, I'm not just reading in the Bible, and this is the steps of Jesus, and I'll roll up my sleeves and try to walk in those steps, but I'm reading in the Bible, here are the steps, and now, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit lives within me. I'm his holy temple, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He has every right to be manifest through me, and he's empowered me to do it. So, as we come toward the close this morning, here's opportunity for us to be honest. We've allowed our hearts to get cold. The cure is to start with confession of my sins. We must never cease to live in repentance and faith. In this life, we'll never get to the point where we don't need repentance and faith, where we don't need to forgive even as God has forgiven us. You might be here today and you are without Christ. I can tell you, he is God's love poured out at Calvary for sinners. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to him and when he gives you this new life in the wonderful outflow of repentance and faith, the first thing he does, and it all happens, there's so many things that happen at once. On one level, I don't know if we can say it's the first thing he does, but I mean, our sins are forgiven, and his love, his life, his Holy Spirit, we're brought from death to life. We're given life, and his life is love. He floods our hearts with his love. And then he says, I want you to walk in the fullness of this love. It's not a static, one-time experience. It's a beginning of life, and God has so ordained it that we'll have to spend the rest of our days here living in dependence upon him. We begin as babes. Have you thought lately, some of you have, how dependent babes and children are? And then it goes on down the way, and as was testified yesterday in the funeral, it all got reversed. Now here is the healthy midlife child taking care of the elderly father, the elderly mother. Just hand and foot every day. We never get to the point where we don't need each other. We certainly never get to the point where we don't need to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. And the closer we're walking in step with Jesus, the more grace we're going to have for the difficult people and circumstances. And we'll say, Lord, this is my opportunity for the resurrected Christ to be on display. We live in a world where, I've seen it mega times in the last few weeks, people trying to impress the world with religious advertisements, showing smiling, singing people. For some reason, I remember a couple who came when I was at Hartsville. They came and wanted me to marry them. Come to find out that they were in the choir of a large church there, and so was this other couple. And God told them to exchange partners. And so they had divorced from each other, and now half of the crowd was in my office wanting me to marry them. And the judge wanted me to marry them. That's why he sent them to my office. That's the kind of world we live in. Now, I didn't blast them, but I just said, well, the Bible says, and so therefore I won't. I can't. And you shouldn't. I'm sure they did. But in that kind of world, we have the privilege to be those in whom and through whom the resurrected Christ is on display. The only thing I need to be concerned about is if he is being quenched in and through my life. Well, if they, no, forget they. Give them to the Lord. Lord, you have them. Lord, I'm clay in your hands. Change me. Father, we thank you for the amazing miracle of your death, burial, resurrection, present ministry in heaven, promised and returned, eternity of ruling and reigning with Christ, seeing him face to face, so many promises, so many blessings. We thank you, Father, for the right now blessing of the Holy Spirit in us and through us to display the resurrected Christ. May we go from this place. May we come to your table with deepened joy, not only for the price you paid, but for the blessings that come from being a child of God, a purchased temple, that you might display yourself. And for this we pray and give thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.